Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So do you know who your representatives are? Speak quick, because the answer may change by the hour. The New York State Legislature is in the process of redrawing the district lines, and the map produced by the legislature is just as squiggly as ever. Some of the districts have been given nicknames like the Lobster and the Claw. I hope they're connected. According to one expert, Democratic Senator Tony Avella's Queens district is only contiguous at low tide. And when complaining about her new district lines, upstate Republican Claudia Tenney mispronounced several of the towns which she would now be representing. It wasn't supposed to be that way. Governor Cuomo ran on an agenda to clean up Albany, and one key promise was to veto any redistricting lines that were not done independently. That pledge has fallen apart, as the redistricting process appears to be as gerrymandered as ever. Dick Dady is with us now. He's the executive director of Citizens Union, a good government group that has been at the forefront of calling for redistricting reform. Hi, Dick. Welcome back to WNYC.
Glad to be back, Brian. How are you?
Good. So give us a status report on the various redistricting battles taking place.
Sure. So the state legislative task force, LATFOR, has produced a first set of recommended maps for the state legislature only, and has failed to present to the public a proposed set of congressional maps. We're the only state in the country that has yet to produce congressional maps. This chaos has created a level of uncertainty in Albany that we've never seen before. And that has resulted in the courts beginning to intervene. And yesterday, a special court master was appointed to start drawing the maps for our congressional districts, since our legislature has not yet done that.
And what's your best assessment of how good these district lines are and how you measure that?
Well, these district lines are comprised mostly of shapes never before seen by the human eye. You've made reference to some of them before. You know, one of them is actually looks like a donut hole. And, you know, it just takes in the circumference of a county. Some go for six or so long that you have to spend 6 hours driving from one end to the other in upstate New York. They are atrocious. They're outrageous. And this is why when the legislature is left to essentially draw its own lines for itself to preserve the partisan majorities in each of the two houses, that we end up with such a result, and why we need to change that by creating an independent process. We had hoped to do that for 2012. We had the support of 184 legislators to do that. We have failed to do that, and that just shows you how difficult a task this is. And that's why we don't want the governor to veto the lines, but use the threat of his veto to negotiate a compromise that changes this process forever.
And people will remember during the legislative campaigns last fall, former Mayor Ed Koch was making a big deal about this issue, independent redistricting reform, non-political redistricting reform, and he seemed to have Governor Cuomo's support. So talk about the governor's role here. Do the gerrymandered results essentially mean that the governor threatened a veto and the redistricting council didn't blink, and now he is?
Well, he really has, you know, all that he has right now is his bully pulpit, and he's used that very effectively. He does not enter the process officially until the legislature presents him with final maps in a piece of legislation. That's when he can truly exercise the power of his veto and get them to hopefully succumb to a more independent process and to draw fairer, better lines for 2012. It's important that he does that, because the way these lines are drawn affect so much of what happens in our democracy here in New York State. This may be seen as a technical issue, you know, an obscure political issue, the way in which these district lines are drawn. But they affect every decision that impacts our lives as New Yorkers. You know, people on the Upper West Side now have four proposed assembly districts. You know, you think of the Upper West Side as a community unto itself, and it should be represented by one assembly member. No, it's going to be represented by four. And what happens when a community becomes disempowered? Because it has, instead of speaking with one elected official, it has to speak with four. And those four may not necessarily have the same interests in mind when they look at the Upper West Side or other neighborhoods throughout the city.
Did you say a minute ago that you want the governor to use the threat of a veto to affect these crazy district lines, but not his actual veto? Yeah. What good is a veto threat if he's not willing to use it?
If he were to exercise his veto, the whole process would be turned over to the courts, and the courts would then have to start drawing the lines. There's very little time left to do that, and so they would probably rely upon the past district lines created 10 years ago, make some changes to make sure they currently comply with federal and state laws. They would not do any wholesale changes, and we then would have lost any opportunity for permanent structural reform. So we want the governor to use his veto to get better lines for 2012, so they're not as oddly shaped and disempower the communities that we just talked about, as well as create lasting reform in the manner of a constitutional amendment. Because if there's any argument that can be made for why we need to change this process, one only needs to look at the way this has unfolded with these maps. We have this unique opportunity. We cannot let it pass.
Dick Dady, head of the Good Government Group Citizens Union, on Governor Cuomo's flagging resolve to do something about gerrymandered districts in this once every 10-year redistricting process that is taking place now ahead of this year's elections. You know, Ozzie Paber of Capital New York flagged something interesting. In the governor's January State of the State speech, his prepared remarks, the pre-printed remarks that the press sees before the speech, included this quote: "It is imperative that an independent redistricting process produce new district maps, and I will veto any lines not developed through that process." But lo and behold, he never actually read that line in the speech. And then a few days later, January 27th, talking about the issue of redistricting, the governor seemed to back even further off when he said this.
You know, it's a technical issue of how you're going to restructure a legislative body. It's not about them. It's not about their family. It's not about their job. It's not about their taxes. It's not about their child's education. And it would take a lot of time to educate themselves, and they don't have that much time.
Oh, it's complicated. It's technical. People don't care. It's not political enough. I was surprised by that.
Well, I mean, the fact that he didn't mention it during his State of the State, but had it in the printed version, speaks to a number of issues. I mean, the written text is far longer than what he speaks. So I didn't read anything into the fact that he didn't verbally speak it. This is a technical process, and he has been resolute in trying to bring about structural reform, as has Citizens Union. We both had hoped that we could get it for 2012. The legislature, sadly, has not cooperated in spite of widespread support for it. So what do we do? You know, do we let the veto happen, which I think he's prepared to do, but that then results in no structural reform and possibly better lines for 2012?
But this governor got us to care about gay marriage. He got us to care about on-time budgets, about teacher evaluations. Why not use some of the bully pulpit for this? Everybody in your position, people who look at what's important in government, even if the general public doesn't get their minds around this issue so much, say this is really important to good representation.
It is extremely important to good and effective representation, and he has used the bully pulpit very, very well, because this issue would not have received the kind of attention that it has. We wouldn't be at this moment of complete and utter political chaos if the governor had not stood his ground and pushed this issue. The legislature would just have preferred to steamroll over the governor and get him to accept this. He's refusing to accept the lines that are about to come before him. But he doesn't want to use his veto just to kind of spank them and have it be a temporary hit against them, and then we move on and we don't have any structural reform.
Can you make even more concrete who gets hurt by gerrymandered districts? Because usually I think when there are attempts to gerrymander districts, yes, it splits geographic communities, but it creates some other kind of community that somebody has an interest in creating, because somebody's lobbying for these districts. Maybe it's just the incumbent representatives themselves. Maybe it's the two parties because they want to have Republicans have a certain number of safe seats and Democrats have a certain number of safe seats. But even that defines community in some way, a partisan way. So who actually gets hurt and who is aided by this ugly process the way it exists?
Largely the incumbents in power who hold the majority in each of the two houses are rewarded. Let's just take a look at New York City. A number of state senators who are Democrats have been put into the same districts, running against each other. That was done ostensibly to create more opportunity to elect districts for minorities and people of color, a noble and worthwhile goal that Citizens Union supports. But it's done at the expense of taking these Democratic senators and putting them into the same districts. What happened on Long Island? Not one of the incumbent nine Republican state senators were put into the same district to run against each other. And communities of color were continued to be split apart and not given the opportunity to represent themselves by electing someone from their communities. That's the enormous disadvantage and hurt that comes. It disempowers communities of color when gerrymandering is used to protect the incumbents who do not support that.
In a letter last week, you urged the governor to work towards a constitutional amendment. That's a state constitutional amendment that would change the process in the future. That always opens up a can of worms. If you're going to call for a state constitutional convention, or maybe there's another way to do an amendment, then anything, any kind of change can get thrown in there, right?
Yes, but what we're asking for is a specific constitutional amendment that originates in the state legislature, and that would be the only issue addressed.
And we have 20 seconds left. What would it say?
It would say that an independent commission should be tasked with drawing the lines in 2022 and not give the, and take the power away from the legislature to do that.
Well, since Governor Cuomo obviously thinks this topic is boring, do you think we have any listeners left after this 15-minute conversation?
I hope we have more listeners left because of how important it is to the representation and the way in which democracy is practiced here in New York.
Dick Dady, Executive Director of Citizens Union, a good government group that has been at the forefront of calling for redistricting reform. Thanks for coming on, Dick.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.